This morning we're going to have the Lord's Supper followed by our potluck lunch. So we have started a new second Tuesday of the month, totally and simply dedicated to communion and prayer. So the second Tuesday of every month, we're going to be having communion and prayer. So just make yourself available to that. And it's unusual, if you've attended here for any length of time, for us to have communion on a Sunday morning. And so this morning I want to talk to you about communion or the Lord's Supper. Understand that our Lord Jesus commanded us to take communion in remembrance of Him. And that's in Luke 22:19. And there aren't a lot of sacraments in our particular non-denominational beliefs. And baptism and communion are two of the sacraments we observe. A lot of different churches have a lot of different sacraments. And many denominations put a high emphasis upon baptism and communion, like First Communion. You know, you got to go through it like a little catechism before you can participate in communion. And regarding baptism, we believe a person is granted salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and His work upon the cross, not granted upon some work, whether that's a good work or not, or a good deed that we may do or perform, or even baptism. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ and His work upon the cross and me applying it to my life. It's that simple. Over the years, though, my views on communion have changed somewhat. If you're old enough to realize that you want Jesus Christ as part of your life, then I think you're old enough to take communion. So, parents, when we begin to distribute the elements, if you want to slip back and get your child and bring them in here and have them partake of communion with you, you do that. It's okay. Because I think children are a blessing to our Lord. We dedicated two children this morning, and we don't want to deny them communion if they even have the vaguest idea of what Jesus means to them. But back to the Lord's Supper. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, and we'll look at some verses there. Then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians. But for right now, Luke 22, and we'll look at three verses there, 14 through 16. Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's instructed His disciples to go prepare the Passover meal for Him. And they do this. They're obedient. And we pick it up in verse 14. And when the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. Then He said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Luke, the author and the writer of Luke, notes here the desire of Jesus. The translators have added a word in their hopes of clarifying this desire, and they put fervent in there. Fervent desire. That gives us a little glimpse of the heart of Jesus here with His apostles. Jesus has set his heart upon this Last Supper with his disciples. Jesus has actually lusted for, in a good sense, you can use the word lust in a good sense, Jesus has lusted for this intimate time with his disciples. And you read the Gospels, and there's not too many times where we see our Lord Jesus expressing any of his desires or wants. And this is one of those rare times. So from Jesus' standpoint, we do well to remember him through participation of communion. Jesus is saying to his church, to us, his body, to his family, remember my blood, remember my body, that it was shed for you and given for you. But there was a church that followed right after Jesus' ministry, and that church was at Corinth. And it's just a few years removed from Jesus' actual living here on earth. And this church has gone off the deep end about communion. And so turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll spend a little time there. The Apostle Paul, he writes to these Corinthians, and it's one of the sharpest rebukes in all of Scripture to any people. So we will look at 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 22. Paul is writing to these Corinthians, and he's saying, "Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse." Now, that would kind of get your attention right there. "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk." What? That's Paul's reaction. What? "Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." That is about as politically correct as Paul could be there. Verse 17, Paul says, "I'm going to give you instructions how to observe, how to partake in the Lord's Supper, and I'm not praising you. You have come together for the worse, not better." Now we leave here, I hope we do anyway, on Sunday morning saying it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. The Corinthians left saying it's been bad for us to come together. How would you like to go home with that? Well, that was a downer. Sure enjoyed that service today. You know, not very comforting, not very edifying. So let's look at what was going on there in their service. They're divided. We see that in verse 18. And Paul says, "I have no problem in believing this." Paul says, "I know enough about what I'm hearing and what I've seen of you people to realize that you are divided." And they would come together to eat the Lord's Supper, and yet the wealthy people would hoard their food. And if that wasn't bad enough, others would become drunk. And this is being done at church or in homes that were big enough to house a church. Now, the early church had many slaves as believers. This coming together to eat a meal together with fellow believers was perhaps the only decent meal that a slave would have all weak. What if some of our ladies, I can't rule out men here, what if some of our ladies or men who've brought a main dish today would say, hey, back off of that, I brought it. You can have what's left over if I'm in a good mood. Gives us a little idea of what was going on. In all my years of attending potlucks and communion services, I've yet to see a person drunk. Paul hears that, hears how selfish they're being, and hears that some are drunk, and he says, what? What would we say? We might say something like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Paul says, what? Don't you have houses to eat or drink in? Or do you despise the church? Not the building we're talking about here. It's the body of believers. Do you despise the body of believers? Now, I'm happy to say that at our potlucks, we are usually sending food home with people. We're trying to find a home for all the food that we bring in here. I have been to some potlucks back where we came out of, Modesto, California, and where the pastor had come out and they'd look at the food and he said, somebody run and get some pizzas. We don't have any food. We've never had to do that here. And I'm grateful for that. You folks are generous in your food. So, but it's good to have a lot of food. So I cordially invite everyone to attend our potlucks because we're never short on food. But if you come into our potluck and you're drunk, you might get sent home also, you know. You might say, hey, why don't you go home and sober up, whatever. Let's look at verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Two commands of remembrance there. For as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Paul starts out and he says, I'm going to give you some instructions. I'm going to deliver to you what Jesus has given to me. You know, and that's all any of us can really do is give out what Jesus has given us. We can only give out what we have received. And Paul then goes through the how to have communion. Christ's body broken for us. And that will be symbolized by the bread that we take, the bread that we eat, how it's broken, and how Jesus gave his body to be crucified, abused, and broken for us. And the cup, a tiny little cup of grape juice, but it represents the blood of Jesus. To Jesus, the cup represents a covenant between himself and us. And when we partake of communion, it's like we're acknowledging that covenant that is between Jesus and his church, or between Jesus and myself. We also partake of communion, remembering the Lord's death until he returns. That's to be in the back of the mind also, that our Lord is going to return for his church. It's not a myth. It's not just a story with a happy ending. It is a fact. our Lord Jesus will return for his church. And partaking of communion acknowledges the fact that our Lord will return. Let's read verses 27 through 34. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, many sleep or died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. There can be confusion about eating and drinking the elements in an unworthy manner. First and foremost, communion is for believers. It's a ritual, it's a sacrament within the church. Communion is for believers. And so we are to examine ourselves, making sure that we are a believer, making sure that we have applied the blood of Christ to our lives, to our sins, and if we need to repent, then repent. But what is being unworthy or partaking unworthy? After all, isn't it Jesus who cleanses us from our sins anyway? And he is the one who makes us worthy? I believe it pertains to the value that we place upon communion. Put a worth on it. Put a value on it. It's important to us as believers. Any of us that possess anything that's of value, we watch over it. We protect it. We cherish it. We must not approach the Lord's Supper in a casual or nonchalant manner. When Jesus tells us to do this in remembrance of him, he is openly telling us, remember me. Remember my grace. Remember my sacrifice for you. Let communion have a place of worth in your life. That's why we have set aside one night a month, and all we're going to do on that night is have communion and prayer. That's the second Tuesday of the month at 6:30. Let it find a place of worth in your life. So join us, if at all possible. Make an effort. Make it a priority to come out and have the Lord's Supper together. Now, we want to partake of the Lord's Supper here this morning. Now, many churches won't do this early in the day because they say, if it says supper, it means supper. Okay. Well, all right, but I'm not going to argue that point, but we're going to partake of it this morning. But let me be very clear on this. Communion is for a believer, and it's in remembrance of Jesus. Now, you can become a believer real easily. All you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, repent, and ask him to come into your life, and he will. That's all. You don't have to be a member of this church. We don't have membership. to partake of communion. If you're here and you're a believer, then we want you to partake of communion with us. So I'm going to ask the musicians to come back up, and I'm going to ask the men to come up, and we'll serve you communion. Now, hold the communion, hold the cup and the bread, and we'll all partake together.